Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Today's Issues is the name of this program. We're here Monday through Thursday from 10:05 to 11:30 Central Time on AFR. And, of course, Fridays we have Trivia Friday, also known as Learning University. So that's every Friday. Now joining us in studio, as is his custom, is Steve Paisley Jordahl. Good morning, Brother Steve.
Bonjour, everybody.
You were listening to the show, weren't you?
I was.
What you got for us? You got some French?
I have that home run call. Now,
this is game one of the World Series.
Yeah. I speak French. I don't understand a word of this. It's pretty fast, and there's a lot of background noise.
Set it up for us. See, this is game one of the World Series.
In Toronto.
Los Angeles Dodgers are playing the Toronto Blue Jays in Canada. French is a...
One of the
big languages.
So everything in Canada you get in English and in French. Unless you're in Montreal, you might not get it in English. They have a broadcast that is in French.
Okay.
And so these guys are going to make – this was a – the game was at the time, I think the game was tied or close. And this home run put them up and kind of put the game out of reach. But listen to this call.
De tombante là, qui va revenir vers le frappeur gaucher.
La balle est frappée d'aplomb en direction du champ droit. À la piste et l'avertissement. Grand chum! Allison Berger!
That was
that
French.
Great.
That was French for going, gone.
And that was a grand slam in the middle of the sixth inning. That catapulted the Blue Jays to the game one win. The Dodgers have tied it up, but that's just great. I don't care what language it is.
Yeah, that is.
You hear the crowd go wild, and
I don't know.
Sports is a great thing
because I learned French in third grade.
Yeah,
I don't know like baseball
lingo.
We didn't do any baseball. We didn't do any football. Certainly no computer talk back when I was 9 and 10. They didn't have computers yet.
So can you generally, can you talk to someone who's fluent in French?
Yeah, if you give me a day or two, I will pass for French in Paris.
Really? Well, you sure will with that shirt you've got on. I can tell you that. It is nice. I like it.
Parlez-vous français.
There you go, Tim.
Edward.
Now you're just showing off.
Yeah.
Parlez-vous.
All right. So, parlez-vous. Parlez-vous français, and then you got Polly want a cracker.
Well, if I want to, in Paris, I would just talk like Chief Inspector Clouseau.
Oh, that would go over well.
They actually hate Clouseau.
I imagine they do. It's not a very good representation.
Do you have a license for your minky?
All right, I want to get to this Congressman Eric Swalwell.
Yeah.
Story. If you heard the previous, we were talking about wackadoodles.
Yeah.
And the Democrat Party has a wide collection.
More than their fair share.
Yes. And this gentleman, Eric Swalwell, is a congressman from a duly elected congressman from the state of California. But politically, I would put him in the wackadoodle category.
You might remember Swalwell was the one that was kind of with the Chinese spy for a while and had some, so he's been on the radar for a while. But the battle over this, the big, beautiful ballroom that Trump is building, and I don't know what the name is going to be. He's kind of coy about that or doesn't know. But the battle over this ballroom continues, and Democrats are just incensed that anybody would touch the east wing of the White House. This thing, if you look at renderings of it, is going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
It's going to be huge, ornate. And as the White House is set up right now, when you have a lot of dinner, state dinner, there are literally tents outside.
Yeah.
And VIPs have to use porta-potties.
Yeah.
They've needed this for a while. So anyway, Eric Swalwell.
There's not enough space for for what they needed today.
No, every country you go to has a formal dining room. The England, you have like 20 of them where you can fit like 100. This will sit about 1,000
people. And so they had to tear down the east wing of the White House in order to build this grand ballroom, which will host state dinners and things like that. It's going to be I've seen the renderings, as you say. It's going to be a beautiful addition to the White House complex.
Well, Swalwell's having none of it, and he put out on X, this was not there's no audio of this, but he put out on X, don't even think of seeking the Democrat nomination for president unless you pledge to take a wrecking ball to the Trump volume on day one. Day one in all caps.
Take a wrecking ball to the, what would be the new ballroom?
Yep. He wants to see wrecking ball. Can you imagine?
I read this. I know what the story's about.
I think you said in our story meeting this morning that's TDS, Trump derangement syndrome on steroids. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that, now, I'm not going to defend this guy.
I think he's serious.
Oh, no.
Do you think so?
I think he's serious. I think, now, the Washington Post, as we've mentioned, are you going to deal with the Washington Post?
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Because that, to me, is the sane approach. I will say this, and again, I'm not defending Swalwell, but President Trump has said, I don't know whether he means this or he's trolling, you never really do know, that he's going to name it the Donald Trump Ballroom.
We call it the Truman, isn't the Truman Balcony? Isn't that what they called
it? Yeah, they do name it after presidents. That seems to be part of what's setting off Swalwell and company.
Well, it's interesting you say that because the Washington Post is revamping its editorial board. They're becoming a little more libertarian, they're coming back from the far, far left. And this is what they write. I think this is a good description of what you're talking about. In classic Trump fashion, the president is pursuing a reasonable idea in the most jarring manner possible.
Yes.
That does describe Trump. That's fair.
That's pretty well written.
TDS comes into play.
It notes that privately many alumni of the Biden and Obama White House acknowledge the long overdue need for an event space like what Trump is creating. It's absurd that tents needed to be erected on the South Lawn for state dinners and VIPs are forced to use porta potties, according to the editorial board of the Washington Post.
And the Washington Post, of course, has always been a liberal publication. It's a daily newspaper in Washington, D.C., but it's considered a national news source.
It is.
And so they are saying, to their credit, that President Trump it's a good idea for him to build this new ballroom, this new event center on the White House grounds, and the Democrats who are opposing it are just basically overreacting for political reasons. Like this Eric Swalwell, congressman from California, saying if you're going to even run for president as a Democrat, you need to commit to putting a wrecking ball to what would be the newly built grand ballroom there. Are they really going to run on that kind of the Democrats?
Some of these, we talked about loonies in the last segment. Some of them probably would. I have to think that serious candidates for president, and I would, include Gavin Newsom among those, maybe AOC, whoever's going to run on the Democratic side. I would think that they may give that lip service, but they are going to have to run on serious issues.
Right.
If they're going to attract a serious vote.
Yeah.
In their direction.
Next story, Steve.
All right. Can we continue with the wackadoodle?
Wackadoodle story number two.
Wackadoodle story is never boring.
We're going to come back to the New York City mayoral election.
Oh, good.
And Mom Donnie has a lead. But
What's his name again?
Mom Donnie.
Yeah, Zoran.
Mom Donnie. Zoran.
Like a superhero
character.
He has
a black mask and
Doing the Z.
Yeah.
That's Zorro.
So he is leading in the polls. As you say, the latest poll, AARP, New York poll put out on October 20th, Mamdani maintains a double-digit lead, but it is tightening a little bit in a hypothetical race if Sliwa was to drop out. But Mamdani would still lead by about 4 points.
So he's going to win.
But listen to this. I found a poll from Patriot Polling. It found in the, this is a couple weeks, maybe about a month old. But what this said is, at the time, the three-way race, Mamdani's leading 43 to Cuomo's 32 to Sliwa's 19%. But among American-born New Yorkers, Cuomo leads 40%, Mamdani 31%, and Sliwa 25% of the vote. Among foreign-born New Yorkers, Mamdani leads 62-24. And
what does that tell you?
12. It tells you that we've been importing people and the assimilation is not happening.
Well, New York City. By the way, this is New York City proper. This is not the greater New York City metropolitan area.
The five boroughs.
Yeah, this is the five boroughs. Yeah, the five boroughs. And, you know, this is the Rudolph Giuliani won, what, 25 years ago or so?
It's been a while, yeah.
And then after that, they've had very liberal mayors.
Get a list of the mayors.
Dinkins, wasn't his name? And Koch.
Koch.
K-O-C-H. Remember him, Ed Koch?
Yeah.
And then you had...
Giuliani was from 94, I don't know, it was this far back, to 2001. He was... mayor of New York City.
Well, and he cleaned up the city. Remember, he was the U.S. attorney there
before he became the mayor. David Dinkins, and Giuliani did, and he cleaned up famously Times Square.
Yeah.
Remember, that was just covered over with prostitution and drugs.
That's what he was known for, Rudolph Giuliani, was when he became mayor, he was a law and order guy because he came from the U.S. attorney, a prosecutor's office, and he was voted in, and he won, I think he had two elections.
I think so, because he was 96 through 2001, and he was succeeded by Michael Bloomberg, who was also a Republican, but he was more to the left.
They couldn't look for a guy like Thomas Willett.
Who?
Thomas Willett. He was the first mayor of New York City.
I did not know that.
He's dead, though, I think.
Well, He was in office 1665 and 1666, took a break, and then came back for 67 and 68. So, he was known for where he put the beads that they traded Manhattan for.
Well, one of the all-time great swindles.
I don't even know what y'all are talking about.
Manhattan was bought from the Indians for beads, like wampum or something.
They gave him nice beads, like necklace beads and that kind of stuff.
Who you mean the
Indian tribe that was settled on Manhattan Island?
You've never heard this?
Maybe somewhere back in my French class I heard this. But tell me the story, Ed, of what happened here. And you and Steve can chime in. Just give us the 2-minute version, if you would, here. What are y'all talking about here?
The 2-minute version.
Can you do that?
Now I have looked it up to get the details correct.
All right.
So the Lenape, also called the Lenni or Lenape and Delaware people, so they were the Indians, Native Americans, indigenous, and so they controlled area in what is now known as New York and Manhattan.
New York City.
What's that?
New York City.
New York City, and so. What's now known as present-day Manhattan, it's now one of the five boroughs of New York City, was purchased. I'm trying to find the – it was purchased – I'm trying to find out who it was.
60 guilders from the Dutch. The Dutch paid good value at 60 guilders, likely including tools of cloth and trade, not just beads.
So the Dutch paid for – the Dutch paid – the Indians to buy Manhattan? Is that what they were talking about?
So it's now known as Manhattan.
The $24 worth of beads story was later a simplification and an exaggeration. Turning the nuanced trade into a symbol of Native Americans being cheated, though it's not an accurate depiction. They actually got goods like tools and cloth and stuff.
Much better.
But it was only for about 24 to $50 worth of.
Now, how much of Manhattan did they buy?
The whole island.
The whole thing. So now, in defense of the Dutch, and in defense of the Lenape, however you pronounce it, people, okay, what I've read in the past, I'm trying to find something, you know, more historical to bolster what I'm saying, but mm-hmm. that it was there were some rivers there and marshes. There wasn't much there. It's and so
it wasn't Fifth Avenue.
It wasn't a
Saks wasn't there yet.
Wasn't a fantastic piece of property. So
yeah.
In defense of the deal,
right?
The art of the deal. The Indians didn't know what was going to be turned into. The Dutch probably didn't either.
But you're saying the Dutch paid them with
20 big, beautiful beads.
No. So, and some tools.
So some tools.
The Indians there, they got the raw end of the deal.
That's what the story is usually used to portray.
And eventually, eventually.
The raw end of the art of the deal.
What's?
They got the raw end.
Raw end of the art of the deal.
And you know, Trump's ancestry is Dutch. You know that? I'm serious about that.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's
how it all started.
Where all that money came from.
That's how he got his name on hotels and
his ancestors made it big, right? Selling wampum.
What is that?
I need to stop.
Is that like an incense?
No, wampum is just
wampum. We used to wampum when we. You know, I know football teams that have been womped.
Huh? Yeah, in fact, you saw that Saturday.
I don't need to hear that again. That's a distant memory.
Wampum is a traditional shell bead of the indigenous peoples of the northeast woodlands of North America. And so I think they use it as a method of exchange.
It's money.
It must have been some really, really nice wampums, don't you think?
It says the small cylindrical beads, this is from history.com, called wampum, came from purple and white whelk and clam shells.
So the Indian chief who sent his negotiators to the table with the Dutch, and the negotiators come back with some beads, and he says, you gave them Manhattan Island for what? For these beads. They're really nice here, chief.
Just look at these.
Look at these, chief.
And I also want to defend the Native American people who sold Manhattan to the Dutch, because Vitaglianos, all throughout our infamous history,
right,
have also been terrible at the art of the deal. So some people got it and some people don't.
Why, did y'all give away Italy or something?
Well, we would have given the chance.
Yep. All right. Go ahead, Steve.
All right. You want to go to the next story?
Yes, please.
Yeah,
All right.
We're getting like close to ethnic jokes.
Yes.
We're talking AI.
Dangerous here. We might have to apologize to somebody.
Well, let's start with Italians.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You don't have to apologize to them.
I want to talk about artificial intelligence.
All right. Speaking of Italians.
As opposed to the intelligence.
Man, that just came to me, and I shouldn't have said it, but it was just there for the taking.
As opposed to the intelligence being demonstrated on this show.
I apologize to all Italians out there. I did not mean that.
And, folks, it is not sincere.
You do not represent artificial intelligence to me. There was just a joke that was bad, and I apologize for it.
Well,
will you please accept my apology on behalf
of the Italian people?
Thank you. You accept my apology. Here's some beads. You want some beads? I got some beads
I'd
for you.
I prefer ravioli, but beads.
All right, Steve,
save us.
Well, China, this is analysts say, this is from Fox News. Analysts say China is developing a chilling strategy for fighting a war with the United States, basically destroying Americans' fighter jets before they even leave the ground. Now, this is a common war tactic.
What does Chile have to do with any of this? Did you say Chile?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
China?
No, chilling.
Oh,
chilling strategy.
Oh, my bad.
I'll let you
start over again. Do that again here.
Analysts say China has developed a chilling strategy for fighting a war with the United States, destroying America's fighter jets before they ever leave the ground.
Uh-huh.
In nearly every modern conflict, disabling enemy aircraft on the ground has been the first move. It happened when Israel struck Iran's nuclear sites. It happened in the Russia-Ukraine war. The first thing you want to do is keep the planes off on the ground. You control the sky. Well, a U.S. defense technology firm says that it has built a way to fight back. Shield AI, based in San Diego, has unveiled a new AI-piloted fighter jet designed to operate without runways, without GPS, and without constant communication links, an aircraft that can think, fly and fight on its own. If you bring up the first the Fox News page, you'll see these things.
This is crazy.
Front page. Shield AI says the jet is called the X-Bat. It can take off vertically, reach 50,000 feet, fly more than 2,000 nautical miles, and execute strike or air defense missions using an onboard autonomy system known as Hivemind. They are not going to ask permission, or they are just this is just go to Fox.com, FoxNews.com.
By the way, this Hivemind system with the X-Bat means it can operate even when your opponent is trying to jam radar and GPS. This is huge. This is a huge development. It's supposed to be. This system is supposed to be out there and deployed by 2029. I've been saying this for several years now that if China ever decides to go after Taiwan and expects the U.S. to be involved, they will strike U.S. bases first all over the Pacific, probably even Hawaii, to try to take out, because you're going to go to war. China's thinking, we're going to go to war with the U.S. anyway. We might as well cripple them in advance. Yep. And that was part of the strategy when NATO was, the U.S. and NATO sat opposed to the Warsaw Pact and the Soviet Union. Everybody knew that if the Soviet Union ever attacked Western Europe, they would strike air bases first, because you want to control the skies.
We just better hope and pray, and I mean this all seriousness, that the U.S. and China never get into a war at all, military conflict at all, because it could explode into World War III.
Yep.
But what you're talking about is aircraft that have their own minds, as it were.
Yeah, they fly and fight autonomously. They've been given the pictures of the enemy aircraft. I'm sure they've put that in and where they're coming from and what they look like.
They're programmed
to recognize the enemy aircraft. And
are these real, or are these pictures of futuristic?
I think those are real pictures.
Do you see what I'm talking about?
That's AI. That's AI representation
of something that's yet to be built.
That it's yet to be operational and deployed. I'm sure there are prototypes that are being tested.
Well, we're talking about our pictures on Fox News.
You can go to our Facebook page. Brent has put the pictures up there.
Our Today's Issues Facebook page, we put pictures of these aircraft.
And the pictures says, now this says Shield AI. Some of these pictures are probably real, but some of them are representations of what a... X-Bat airfield.
Have they been built yet? Do we know?
I'm sure there are prototypes that are being tested, but they have not been built for deployment yet because they're still going through the research and development phase. But these would be aircraft that would be like launching cruise missiles. Okay, you launch cruise missiles. Now they're operating on their own. They have perfect understanding by GPS where they're located. They hit their targets. This would be like launching aircraft that don't have pilots. A human makes the decision to send them, and then they operate on their own. That's kind of scary.
I know.
But I'm sure everyone else is figuring this out too.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Ed.
Yes, sir.
My thanks to Fred Jackson, the Canadian-American. He was on with us earlier, and Brent Creeley, our redneck American, who
and we will have an official apology to the Italian American community.
Yeah, it'll be forthcoming right after pizza.
Oh man!
We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.